Hi, I'm Pastor Torrin Brooks, and welcome to Faith Christian Church. So glad you decided to join us today. For the next 30 minutes, we're going to be looking through God's Word and finding ways for it to apply to our lives today. Hope you enjoy this morning's sermon.
I believe before this church and any church can be the effective tool for ministry that God wants us to be. How many know God placed us here for such a time as this? Oh, I'm glad half of you believe it. Maybe by the end of this whole series, everybody will believe it. But God placed you and I in this place for such a time as this, and He placed us here to be a light, to be a city on a hill, to show people the truth of His Word. To show people the truth that God loves them. He has a plan for them, and He can change them. Hallelujah. You can be a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can have a new attitude. Oh, glory to God. We'll preach that to my kids tonight when they get home from McDonald's. You can have a new attitude. God can change your character. He can change your life and make you new. But the problem is, the church is never going to be able to give that clear message if we're all messed up. And so we talked about that. Paul says, listen, you've got to get in alignment. There are things that the church needs to fix in order to be the vessel that God wants the church to be. And until we get these things straightened up, we're not going to be able to be effective. We're not going to be able to make it. And so part of the problem in the church in Corinth is they got a lot of problems. How many of you know, by the way, there's no such thing as a perfect church? Hallelujah. You know, I've had people say to me all the time, Pastor, I would love to come to your church, but I don't know if it's perfect for me. So here's what I tell them. Well, don't come because you'll be disappointed. You're going to have to learn there's no such thing as a perfect church. Because to have a perfect church, you'd have to have perfect people. And there's... Now look, I'm not making this stuff up. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. There's nobody who's going to be perfect. There's nobody who's going to have it all together. But I said, if you want to come to a church full of people that love God and want to do their best for God and want to serve God with all their heart, they may make mistakes, but they'll say they're sorry. And if not, we'll compel them to say they're sorry. And we're going to love God together, and we're going to walk this path together until we get to glory. You want that church? Come on down. I know where that church is at. It's at 582 Rockingham Road. I said, but if you're looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find it because there is no such thing. And the church in Corinth had more than its share of problems. But here's the thing. Paul said, I got hope in you that you can fix it. I got hope. It's just some things are going to be harder than others. Some things are going to be a little more difficult. Like what we talked about Saturday night. When we talked about the fact that Paul says, we're not to judge sinners for their sins. That's God's job. But it is our job as believers, when another believer in our midst, a part of our church, is knowingly sinning, it's our job to judge them and tell them to repent or to leave the body. Tough stuff. See, they were bragging about being open and honest and welcoming to all these people, having them apart. But the part is, you can't have sin in the body of Christ. And we talked about other things too. And you know, we've got to come to a point where we say, listen, if we can just fix these things one at a time, we don't have to change everything all at once. But we got to try to start tuning in and aligning this body to the way God wants it to be according to the Word. How many of you know this is the model of faith and practice that we're supposed to live by? It's not always popular. It's not always nice. It's not always pretty, but it works. Oh, you didn't hear me this morning. Try again. I believe the Bible is God's divine holy Word. Inspired and God-breathed into men, written down that you and I can have a goal to live by. And if we don't believe this is God's inspired word, then we're in the wrong place. There's all kinds of other manuals you can find in other places around the world. This is what I believe. This is what the church believes. And this is what the world needs to believe. The Bible says this word is life. It's hope. It's mercy to those who will take it to heart and read it. Paul is in a difficult position, though, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Because he's got people that feel like they can't be used of God unless they fit into a certain mold. How many know that, that's usually what we hear in life? That there is a perfect type of person we look for when we're looking for somebody to fill this position or that position. And you may not totally agree with me today, but that's okay. I'm just reading the Word. I love you. You're looking at me weird this morning. I'm going to set you free this morning. Because some of you have been waiting. How many of you know the Bible says if you wait for the perfect opportunity to come to work, you'll never get anything done? Oh, it's true. It's Ecclesiastes, I think it's chapter 7. It says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you're never going to get anything done. And some of you have been waiting for God to make you perfect before God uses you. And I want you to know today, one thing, God wants to use you right now where you are. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17 and following. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised, let him not become circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You are bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Now, this is a tough word. I find it very interesting. Paul is saying to the people, listen, you're mad because when Christ set you free, you were still a slave to the society in which you were born a slave. See, a lot of people think that when Christ comes into their lives, that everything is going to be magically changed for them. It's true. I've known people that gave their heart and life to Christ because they've been praying for a raise at work, and they said, maybe if I give my life to Christ, I'll finally get a raise. And they give their life to Christ, and they show up to work the next day, and guess what? They get fired. And they say, God, I thought giving my life to you was going to make everything go perfect. And it doesn't. Sometimes people will say, well, maybe I was wrong about God, and maybe God doesn't work that way. Paul says a lot of people were thinking that when Christ came, if they gave their lives to Christ, that all their circumstances would be turned around and life would be roses and ice cream and steaks cooked on rocks and good stuff. And all of a sudden, they wake up to the same familiar smells of the dungeons they were in before, and nothing has changed. Paul says, listen, said some people get offended by that. Don't get offended by that. Be used of God where you are. Can I tell you, your life is not always going to be perfect. I've lost you. Come back. If I had a step I could get higher, I would right now. Step up on something so I could get your attention. Your life is not always going to be perfect, but God wants to use you now. Listen, he says, listen, some people think to be used of God, they have to change. I know I'm stepping in this morning, but I'm going to do it anyway. They got to change their wardrobe. Because God can't use me in the clothes I have. Now, that was true when I was growing up as a kid. You may not believe this or not, but I was told by a good friend of mine that I will never be able to be used in ministry if I don't have 5 3-piece suits and a bunch of ties to choose from, and I gotta look the part. It's true. So I tried, but here's what I found out. If you're planning on gaining weight, buy a suit you can grow into. See, I got suits in my closet I can't wear anymore. I got one good suit, but that's for weddings and funerals. But, it's true. Don't y'all look all holy at me. A lot of times we change the way we look because we want people to think of us a certain way. In ministries like that, people say, well, I can't be in ministry. I can't tell my friends about Christ the way I look at how I look. God says, I don't care how you look. I want to use you where you are. Some people think, well, you know what? To be used of God, I've got to have an education. I've known lots and lots of Bible college students who thought they would go to Bible college, and when they get out of Bible college, man, they would be the Joel Osteen of Central Bible College. Wow! Can I tell you, all the knowledge in the world won't get you a relationship with Jesus Christ? Oh, you didn't hear me this morning. I said, all the knowledge in the world will not get you a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it's one thing to know about Him, and it's another thing to know Him. You hear me? It's one thing to know all there is to know about God. You can have the Bible memorized and never know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And people think, well, in order for me to go out and evangelize, Brother Kevin, I got to memorize the entire Bible or I'm never going to be able to go. Yeah, he doesn't teach that in class. But I want you to understand, that's what people think sometimes. They think, I got to have it all memorized. Can I tell you what the Bible says? The Bible says, Jesus said this, don't think about what you're going to speak. Because when you get in that moment, the Spirit of God is going to lead you. You don't have to have the perfect wardrobe to be used of God. You don't have to have the best education to be used of God. You don't even have to be full of talent. Can I tell you one of the things that gets in the way, mainly pride in a lot of ministers, is the fact some ministers are greatly talented in various areas. And all of a sudden, it's not about the ministry of leading others to Jesus that matters anymore. It's about how much their talents are displayed. Oh, man. I love people who are talented. I think it's great. But can I tell you something? All the talent in the world is wasted if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because everything on this earth will pass away. You listen to me. Everything on this world will pass away one day. No matter how great the talent is, if you die and go to hell because you don't know Jesus, your talent goes to hell with you and it's lost. Come on. I'm speaking truth. In fact, the Bible said, and we read it earlier in 1 Corinthians when we were studying this, God doesn't use always the most talented people to share the gospel with people. He doesn't use always the most wisest. But the problem is we get offended because we say, well, Lord, if you really want to use me, why don't you elevate me? And we get caught into this idea that we must be doing something wrong because God's not blessing us with a new car. Or better this and better that. And Paul says, listen, let me settle this once and for all. And I hope today, by the end of this day, it'll be settled in your mind. God loves you, and He wants to use you just how you are. He says something really weird, and I shouldn't preach this with kids in the room, but he says, listen, he says, if you're circumcised, you can't. It's not going to do you any good to be uncircumcised again. And if you're uncircumcised, it's not going to do you being circumcised because, you know what? All the relative religious aspects of the law are not going to be any good if you don't obey the law. If you come to church and you get your star on the chart for attendance, whoosh, not going to do you any good if God says go witness to this person and you say no to God. Do you realize the Bible says to him who knows what to do and he doesn't do it, to him that is sin. That's not like nanny nanny boo boo. That's like sin. You do realize the Bible says sinners will go to hell. People who don't obey God are going to get there. Even people who live good, who have the best intentions, when they disobey God and they disobey His law, there's a punishment set aside for people who rebel against God. And it's sad that we have people who are called to be used of God and they say, God, just wait till I get free of this addiction. Oh, you didn't hear me this morning. God, when I get to my act together, I'll serve you. Say, wait a minute, Pastor. You mean God won't set people free of addiction? No, God does still set people free. I'm tired of people saying, I can't be used of God because I have a problem. I'm saying, let God use you and take care of your problem at the same time. Paul says it this way, if you're a slave, you're a slave, but be free in Jesus. You may not be able to do what you want to do. You know, I have a friend who's in prison, and it doesn't matter that he's locked up. He can still live for God in prison. He can still live for God in the bondage he's in, and he can still obey God. No matter what his state in life, no matter what his state is going to be, he can still live for God. I think we've got to get to the point where we stop worrying about whether we're perfect or not and just start obeying God. Listen to me. I think it's time to stop worrying about whether we're dressing right or dressing wrong and just start obeying God. Because it's going to come a point when the world is looking for a church that's obedient to the Lord, and they're not going to find it if we're all sitting around waiting for things to be peaches and roses. Why do they say that, peaches and roses? I probably messed that up. But, you know, you can't wait for perfect conditions if you want to get something done. And if you think the whole world's going to have to fall at your feet and be perfect before you can be used of God, you're going to be waiting for a long time. You're never going to have anything perfect in your life. You listen to me. Can I tell you a personal battle of mine? It's not easy raising my children. I don't get it right all the time. But it doesn't mean I quit and throw my kids in the closet until I get my act together. You listen to me. I'm telling you a truth. I don't sit there and wait till they're grown before I get involved. I don't sit there and wait until everything is my way or the highway. I don't wait till it's my way. I've got to get involved now. Amen. Your friends at work can't wait for you to get your act together before you share Jesus with them. The people in your family can't wait until your life is perfect before they believe in the same Jesus you want them to. Look, I've had people say, well, Pastor, I feel really bad. Now, I'm not trying to pick on anybody in particular. I just want you to hear me this morning. I know people have issues with addictions to smoking and drinking. I do. I'm not so stupid to believe that that doesn't occur. But can I tell you something? If you love God with all your heart, you may not be perfect, but that doesn't mean you can't be used of God. You listen to me. You may not agree with me, but you better listen to me. God wants to use you. If you love God with all your heart and you're committed to Him, it may be a process for Him to set you free from things. It may take time for you to give up those things in life, but it doesn't mean that God can't use you now. I remember Brother Tom used to sit about the third row back at Trenton First Assembly, and he'd say, Well, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Took that man going to church in 2 years to give up alcohol. Took him going to church in over 5 years to give up smoking. But he didn't stop loving God. He didn't stop telling his family about Jesus. And he didn't say, God can't use me because I'm not perfect. He said, Lord, I'm unworthy, but use me anyway. We could take a lesson from Isaiah. Here's Isaiah, the prophet of God, wrote up one of the largest books in the entire Bible, 66 chapters. And yet when he comes and God says, I want to use you, he goes, no, you can't. I'm not clean. God says, don't worry, I can take care of that as long as you're willing to be used. Glory to God. As long as you're willing to walk the walk with me, I'll take care of the issues along the way. You may never be completely free. He says, you may be a slave all of your life, but it doesn't mean you can't be used. Doesn't mean you can't serve God. Doesn't mean you can't be obedient to God. Doesn't mean God can't do something miraculous in your life. The problem is, are we going to get offended when God doesn't give us all we want and ask everything of us? You know, I can't stay up there. I don't know if you hear me or not this morning, but I've known preachers who have gone into the ministry. And I use preachers because I am one. It's one of the only examples I can use because I've known so many who have gone into the ministry, and yet when they didn't get their first Rolls Royce at their first church, they say, well, God must not like me because I'm not being prosperous and I'm not getting all this stuff that all these other people have. I don't feel like that I'm in the right place. And instead of just being used of God where they were, they aspired for something that wasn't theirs to have. I learned a long time ago, I may never be rich, but that shouldn't stop me from loving God. I could get sick with an illness and a disease and be stricken down and not have good health the rest of my life, but that should not stop me from loving God. My status, you know, I love Facebook because it just gives you all the free gossip you want. But everybody's got a status. It's true. Everybody's got a status. Sometimes the status is good. Sometimes the status is not so good. Sometimes the status is way too much information for Facebook. Sometimes the status is never enough information. People want to know what's going on. How are you doing? Good. That's their status. Good. Or cranky. And we're like, oh, tell us more. Tell us more. It's horrible how we get sometimes. But everybody's got a status on Facebook. And when I was reading this, Paul talks about God wants to use you in this, no matter what status you're in. No matter what status you have. It means when you're sick, God can use you. When you're well, God can use you. When you're hurt, God can use you. When you're bound, God can use you. When you're free, God can use you. When you're poor, God can use you. When you're rich, God can use you. God just wants you to be used. No matter what your status. Paul's saying, stop trying to always change your status in order for God to use you. Why don't you just let God use you where you are? Here's the thing I know about God, and I'll close with this. Walking with God is no picnic, because constantly he's changing one thing after another in my life. He's motivating me to do different, to be better, to do this and to that. But you know what? God didn't start walking with me when I got it all together. He started walking with me when I was nothing, but I simply chose to walk with him. And when I was foolish and my sermons were 4.5 minutes long, God still used me. Man, I thought I had the first sermon I ever preached. I was like 15 years old, and I thought I had the best sermon ever. I used my outline out of my Dake's Annotated Reference Bible. And it was a 3-point sermon because my dad told me that was right. And it was a 3-point sermon. And I read all my notes, which was half a page. And when I finally got done, I was like, amen. And everybody looked at me like, you know, we got an hour. Gratefully, I had a youth pastor who loved God and loved kids, and he was willing to put up with some of our foolishness and some of our immaturity, and he put his arm around me, and he took my message and just preached it for me and filled up the rest of the time. And he said, "Son, that was good. You did good. Don't give up." You know, there are going to be times when the past parts of your life come up to you and snag you by the nape of the neck and say, "Remember me." There may be times when you find yourself in a fit of despair and discouragement. But no matter where your status is, God wants to use you. You don't have to achieve some status area or level in order for God to use you. God wants to use you now, right where you're at. See, the secret that Paul said was to obey. Simple, obey. Obey. When God says, "I want you to give something to the poor," you obey. When God says, "I want you to take this person out to dinner and bless them," you obey. When God says, "I want you to look your loved one right in the eye and say, I love you, but if you don't repent, you will go to hell, and I don't want to see our family broken up," you have to obey. He says, I had one parent tell me, "Well, I'm not living right myself, so what are they going to say? They're going to come down on me." And they're going to say, "You know what? God wouldn't ask you to say that if he wasn't already working on their heart. And you know what? If he's working on your heart too, maybe both of you will get saved at the same time." Hallelujah. I'm tired of waiting for the perfect church to go out and minister to the world. I think it's just time to start going out and ministering right where we are. Now, as we grow with God, we're going to get better. As we grow with God, we're going to become more like Him. But we can't become like Him, wait to become like Him and then go out. We can't wait and become perfect and then go try to work. When God says, "Listen, can I just use you right how you are right now?" I said I was going to close, didn't I? I repent. Do you know how many times in the Bible, you listen to me, and I promise I'll shut up soon. Soon's a relative term, right? Do you know how many times sinners were used in the Bible for God's glory? They weren't even saved. One of my favorites is probably, I'm not going to say, this is weird, and please don't think I'm picking on anybody in particular, but can I just give you two examples of people who weren't in the best condition in the world who brought salvation to people? One was Rahab the harlot. Do you remember her? She's sitting there, and she invites these two strangers into her house. They knew, she probably didn't have a sign on the door going, "Hey, this is the party house." But they may have, I don't know. But she was used by God to save the two spies. And she wasn't even a believer. She had heard about, but she wasn't one of them. She was used of God. The second one was this woman who was sitting at the side of a well getting water one day, and all of a sudden a man comes up to her and changes her life by saying, "Where's your husband?" What are you talking about? Jesus goes, "Oh, not the five you were married to or the one you're living with now that's not your husband." He calls her out. And you know what she does? She runs the town and tells everybody. She tells everybody about this man named Jesus sitting up on the well. She wasn't perfect. She wasn't even living. Everybody, can you imagine? Here comes this woman who's had five husbands and living with a sixth man, and she's running around telling everybody, "Oh, you got to meet this Jesus. He's the one that's going to save us all." And they're like, "We know who you are. We know how you're right. We're going to just ignore her. Just give it up." The Bible says that's not what happened. Because how many of you know when God asks you to do something, He sends the anointing with you to do it? The Bible says that when she went out, no matter what her status was in life, she went out, told people about Jesus, and the entire town came out to meet Him. I don't need things to be perfect. I just need Him. I don't need to have my status changed. I just need him. And if I'm obedient to him, no matter what my status, he's going to get the glory. Can we just agree it's time to stop waiting for the perfect church to start stuff? It's time to just do the work of God now and let him continue to make us better as time goes on. Because let me tell you, souls are being lost every hour that we sit around waiting for us to be perfect. And we can't afford to wait any longer. We can't.
We're so glad you watched today, but you really should visit in person. Service times are 10:30 Sunday morning, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7 p.m. Wednesday night. We're located at 582 Rockingham Road. It's on Highway 5 across from Everyday Inn in Bells Falls. You can also visit our website, www.faithchristianag.com. God bless you. Have a great day.